everyone. Welcome to the Latin Excellence Podcast. I'm Gabby.
And this is Carlos.
And we are Los Riveras. Our show features stories of top performers in the Latinx community and helps you discover practical insights that you can apply to your own personal journey. I don't know about you, but one of the things I actually miss about commuting to the office is getting in my car and listening to the radio. There's something comforting about listening to your favorite radio DJs every day. It's almost like they're your friends. It's almost like you know them so well. In this episode, we connect with Kristen Limon, on-air radio personality at 97.1 AMP, a radio station here in Los Angeles. Kristen talks to us about how she went from being a telephone operator at the radio station to becoming an on-air radio host and even working with the infamous Carson Daly. We are so excited to share this episode with you and excited for you to hear about how Kristen is truly paving the way for more Latinas in media and in radio. Welcome, Kristen Limon.
Thanks for joining us. So how are you holding up with all this madness?
For the most part, I'm okay. Definitely gets tough just like when you kind of get antsy from staying inside. And obviously it's like, you know that you're doing it for all the right reasons, but like, we're human. We want to go outside. We want to explore. We want to hang with our fam. We want to hang with our friends. And then, with all the other stuff kind of added on top of the pandemic, like all the things that are kind of going around in the world, like in Minneapolis and all that stuff, like it definitely gets tough. We're definitely all going through a whole lot right now. But I think it's just like the power of mindset. You know what I mean? Like, and just kind of reminding yourself, like, it's okay to feel whatever it is you're feeling. If you're sad, if you're happy, if you're outraged, if you're, you know, excited about anything, like, it's okay, you know? So getting by, figuring it out day by day, you know?
So let's jump into it now. So for those people who don't know who you are, but maybe you can talk to us a little bit about kind of what your job is and your role is at AMP Radio.
Sure.
And also kind of how you got started in that field.
Right now I am the midday host at AMP. We actually dropped radio, and that's very new. We kind of didn't really like put it out there majorly. I think it's like a subtle change, which I'm not being very subtle about it right now. And I don't really know why they did that, but I do middays. There's been a lot of shifts and changes with the pandemic and everything. So typically a midday shift in radio is 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., but we adapted and we adjusted. So now I'm 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. I participate in a lot of like the programming end of things. We have like weekly music meetings where we listen to music and we figure out which songs will best fit the sound and the vibe of our station. So I get to be involved in that. And then I am also involved in a nationally syndicated show. It's Carson Daly, who I used to work with, which I can get into that when I go through the career path of this whole thing. Mm-hmm. He has a nationally syndicated show. It's called The Daily Download with Carson Daly. And so I work on that show as well, just like getting the charts configured and sent out to, how can I word it? We basically just get the charts and we give it to the person who actually builds the show, and they are like, they kind of just sew everything together. There's a lot of communication with label reps because there are features on the show. There's Carson Daly's Pick of the Week, there's a launch artist, there's a coming soon feature. And the thing about songs is you can't just add them kind of like however you want them. You have to get label approval, because the way songs you'll see on Billboard charts, like they'll be number one or number two or number three or number four. And that's because songs get ads and they get spins. So that all has to be pre-approved. So there's a lot more that goes into selecting songs, which kind of can get complicated when I'm trying to break it down to a listener, because sometimes they'll be like, I want to hear this song. And it's like, I will 100% do what I can. I'll let the programmers know. But there is a way of how we have to go and approach people to add those songs for that.
Yeah. That was probably me as a young kid calling in the radio and like,
hey, oh yeah,
Eminem or 50 Cent, can you
please? I did it too.
No, I know, I was driving you guys crazy, so I probably called like 50 times too.
Same, I was that listener, so now I'm getting, you know, it's like, oh, now I get it, I'm on the back end of things.
Yeah. And so Limon, how did you get started in this industry? Is it something that you knew as a kid, like, I want to be on the radio, this is something I want to do, or did it evolve as you?
I had no idea. Like, I think if like now Kristen went back to like eighth grade or even like high school Kristen and said, you're going to end up in radio, my sassy ass would probably have like rolled my eyes and been like, okay, yeah. No, I had no idea. I did always love entertainment as a kid. I was like obsessed with like movies and I grew up listening to the radio, but never thought I'd end up there. And to be honest, it was kind of an uphill battle when it actually started to unfold, because from high school, my mom really encouraged me to go into medicine. And I did entertain that for a while, because I like, you know, I was like, oh, I like helping people, like, sure, why not? And I, you know, kind of did all the right things. I had like a really great stipend internship at USC's like health science campus. I was working like in a research lab at the Institute for Genetic Medicine. And then when I went to college, I went to UC Davis and I got accepted as a biosci major. And my plan was like, okay, like I'll do the pre-med thing. And I got there, took the classes, hated it. And I did terrible in school, which school was always my strong suit. I was always really good at school. I mean, I was like on the verge of getting kicked out that bad. Wow. Had a conversation with my mom. I told her, let me do film, please. You know, it's my passion. And she was like, but what can you do with film? Like, what kind of job can you get after college? And I get where she's coming from. She just wanted me to be okay after, you know, graduation, and it's a tough world. So then I was that student that switched my major, and I went to from biosci to managerial economics. I don't know why, but I went that route. Same thing. Hated it. Did not do well. Finally, they caved and they let me kind of pursue film. So I ended up majoring in film and double minoring in Spanish and Chicano studies. And when I graduated and started applying, I was hearing back from zero people. Like, I would apply to jobs. And it was just like, you know, the same old, like, oh, entry level position, but you need 2 to 5 years previous experience. I'm like, that doesn't really mean entry level, but okay. And then I happened to, like, months later, I happened to stumble across an ad for a phone op job at AMP, which back then was AMP Radio. And I was like, well, you know what? I like listening to the station. I have it on my preset. Like, let me just see. And yeah. And then like a month later, I got like an impromptu phone interview. And then a week after that, I got called in for an in-person interview. And then the week after that, I started my first phone op shift. So I was originally hired as a phone operator, and the first shift that I ever did there, that's like honest to God when I fell in love with radio. I was just like, how is it possible to have so much fun and get paid for it? Like, this is insane. Yeah. So I loved it. The people were amazing. They still are. And a couple weeks later after that, they moved me to our morning show, which at the time was hosted by Carson Daly. And I got to work with him for 5 years. And that was like one of the best experiences. Like, I already loved radio, but that really hammered it in.
So tell us about that. What was that like under Carson Daly's leadership? Like, I mean, you see him as a kids, right? We would watch him on what was that show?
TRL.
Live, right? And then now he's like literally sitting in front of you and you get to like ask him questions, talk to him. What was that like learning from him?
So the thing about Carson is like, he is literally the most down-to-earth dude, like, of all dudes, and the nicest guy. Like, you know what's funny is, like, anytime you'd bring up, like, TRL, he'd be like, oh, God, don't bring that up again, you know? And, like, he totally understood that's what fully catapulted him, but, yeah. Like, it wasn't for him. It wasn't what defined him, you know what I mean? And, like, he was just, like, so cool, and, like, I'm forever grateful to him because he was the first person who put me on the air. Yeah. And then I guess he just liked what he heard, and he would keep inviting me in to participate into different on-air breaks. And then, you know, we had our producer at the time, she got pregnant twice during my duration of working with the show. And when she was on maternity leave, I got to fill in for her and kind of take on more of a producer role. And so that was just like, I mean, all of it was a good experience. I mean, I was getting to go to concerts and like come back and talk about them. Like going to concerts was part of my job.
Awesome.
You know, and he would send me to see a bunch of cool artists, like, and even artists that we don't play. Like I got to see Prince because of him. I got to go to the Grammys because of him, the VMAs. And, you know, and he just would, all right, Kristen, like, let's come on and let's talk about it, you know, or I would just kind of go in and talk about Lakers or the Dodgers because I'm a huge sports fan. And he'd be like, oh, sit down, let me put the mic on. So I really appreciate his trust that he put in me.
It sounds like well, two things. One is that you kind of took advantage of the opportunity of, especially when those people were out,
100%.
Right? I think there's like a Les Brown story that I heard where he always wanted to be a disc jockey, and then it happened one night where one of the DJs was kind of drunk, and then he stepped in and kind of took over. So you had that opportunity. But what do you think Carson saw in you that was like, oh shoot, like, let's get this girl in, she can definitely, you know, bring value.
And by the way, I just want to point out that I mean, you just said you started as a phone operator, right? So it was like entry level phone operator.
Yeah,
how did that, to Carlos's point, like, what did he see in you out of everyone else?
Literally started from the bottom. You know, when I don't, what he would always tell me is that I was a natural, and that kind of would go in when you're out the other. And I would even ask him, like, hey, like, if you ever have any pointers, like, please, like, I'm the type of person that constantly encourages constructive criticism. And he would be like, my pointers are to keep doing what you're doing. You're natural. Just be you. And I think that's probably, you know, and I am that type, you know, I'm kind of like, you know, what you hear is what you get, what you see is what you get, you know, I don't put up any fronts. So my best guess would be that, you know, he kind of just, whenever he asked me a question, I would give him an honest answer and I would give him my opinion. I wouldn't say what I thought people wanted to hear. Mm-hmm. I would just tell my truth or my opinion about whatever it was we were talking about, you know?
And that's so important. And we've talked to some of our other guests about this, about like staying authentic, right? Staying with your voice. And so what you're describing is exactly that. So that's the thing that drew Carson to you. But I guess what's tricky and challenging for me to understand is, like, you are on the radio, thousands of people are listening to you. Like, how do you stay authentic when you know so many people are listening and you want to do a good job? What are some of your best practices there?
It does. I'm glad you keep bringing up the word authentic, because like, that's something that is like so, so important. And that is like the major foundation of like how I just kind of function daily, like, you know, in and out of the studio. It gets very easy to kind of sway one way or sway another that might not be true to yourself. It's okay to be influenced, but you really have to have a good relationship with yourself, with you as a person. Get to know who you are. And that's the only way that you're going to know who your true authentic self is. You can't do that if you're constantly depending on other people or kind of just, you know, mooching off of, oh, so-and-so thinks A, B, and C about this. So yeah, I guess they're right. I'll think that too. It doesn't, you know what I mean? And like, it's okay to disagree with people. Nobody wants to hear a bunch of parrots on the radio. Oh, this is cool. Oh yeah, it's very cool. It's almost, you know what I mean? Like we don't want that. You know, that's not what people are going to connect to. And so I think just having a really strong and good relationship with yourself, and hey man, that takes time. That's not something that happens overnight. That takes constant work. And I think that if you keep doing that and you keep a good relationship with yourself, you know, like, you know, take care of your mental health and have your self-care days when you need them and all that stuff, like, that's what's going to keep you connected to you and to your roots. And that's what's going to allow you to be your most authentic self in every capacity and every situation that you're in.
Yeah, for sure. I think that makes total sense. And like, just being authentic, it takes time to be comfortable in your own skin.
Oh, for sure.
Especially as we get older, right? We think about older, right? So like early 30s.
But yeah, exactly.
If you look back at your early 20s, it's like, oh man, I was not as confident as I am now.
Right.
Thought about what other people thought about me. And it's just,
it's a challenge. And it's funny. I'll share this, and maybe Gabby will slap me after, but we're just having this conversation right now. And I'm starting to see, being married to Gabby now 2 years, how she's kind of molding into her own authentic self. It's like, you know, she's meeting people and taking different interviews. And now she's like, you know what? I really don't care what other people say. I'm just going to do what I want to do.
Yes.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it anymore. Right. And it's starting to pay off. Like, I mean, you see that, you know, once you're your own, your authentic self, that how it starts to kind of, people actually like that about you. Right?
Yeah. I mean, and look, it's hard. Like that was one of the hardest things, like kind of just developing myself as a solo DJ, because yeah, I started off with a show with a group of people that you can kind of vibe off of and build a dynamic. And when you're doing it solo, it's different. There's nobody else in there with you. There's nobody else to kind of feed off of whatever it is that you're saying. And that's scary, because you go in there with the mindset, like, I know that I'm not for everybody. I know that I'm not going to please everybody, but you still have to just be you, you know? Yeah. I mean, it is terrifying, because even though it's like, oh, I don't care who judges me, you know what, deep down we kind of all do, you know, yeah. Like nobody wants to be disliked. Yeah. But do you want to be liked for the wrong reasons? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And to that point, I think, so how do you think that being Latina has kind of helped you?
You know, I don't know if it's even directly connected to being a Latina, but maybe like with my family and how I grew up, they gave me a lot of confidence. I was never shot down. I was never overlooked. Like it was always like, even if like one of my older, like my tios or my, you know, my parents were talking to me, they never talked down or at me. They talked to me. And I feel like that really kind of embedded like a sense of respect. And, you know, it doesn't matter your age or, you know, your gender, your ethnicity, whatever it is, just as long as there's respect, then you know what I mean? Like you're going to be able to communicate. But for sure, like within the industry, like a lot of those qualities, like I guess specifically tied to being a Latina is for sure the work ethic, because we have always been hard workers. We always have been, we always will be. Work ethic and grind and hustle, it's just, it's woven into our DNA. That's how we do things. Right. So that is something that I will forever appreciate. And I definitely got that from my family, 100%. Like every single one of them are just their workhorses. And it can be a tough thing to balance too, because you don't want to be in constant work mode. You have to give yourself those breaks. But for sure, strong work ethic, resilience. We're also very resilient people. You know, you got to have thick skin. Your skin has got to be like thicker than leather, you know, because you're going to get the no's, you're going to get the rejections, you're going to get the, doesn't really fit, and you can't take it personally. You know what I mean? Like you're trying to find your pocket and where you fit, you know? And also just 100%, like being able to work with a team, you know, and I think that also comes from coming from like a big family. Not saying that if you don't come from a big family, you're incapable of working with a team, but that also really helped learning how to share, learning how to distribute different responsibilities and everybody playing an essential role. And also just inclusivity. I mean, think about whenever you go to like a friend's family's home, how do they greet you? Hi, this is my friend Gabby. This is my friend Carlos. Hi, mija. Hi, mijo. How are you? Oh, right. Come in. Are you thirsty? Are you hungry? Do you want to eat something? My house is your house. Yeah. That feeling of being welcomed and like everybody, this is a safe space and we're all here for the same reason. I feel like that is something that I have truly carried with me throughout my career, like in radio.
Yeah. And, you know, being a woman and being a Latina in media, in mainstream media, is still rare.
It's tough, right? It's tough. Yeah.
The representation is not yet where I think we all want it to be. Mm-hmm. So what are some of your thoughts on, you know, how can we increase representation of Latinas in media? What are some of those things that you see, either skills or ways that, you know, we can grow to be in those positions like you are in now?
You're right. It's media, I think, is a very male dominated industry, and a lot of doors actually are opening for women, and that's great. And they need to continue to be opened, and we need to be received. We just need to be well received. You know what I mean? We have to take away the gender part of it. Because we're all just a human and we have a lot of great things to offer. And I think for us to be represented, we just have to keep on doing what we're doing. We have to power through things, you know, ignore the bullshit, pardon my French, but, you know, and our stories just need to be told, and we need to uplift and empower each other. And I'm really grateful that I have encountered those strong, amazing women who are all about empowerment and who are so willing to share info. This is not a competition. This is a camaraderie. And we all need to be there for each other and have each other's back no matter what. And I think that is really what's going to help the representation of Latinas, specifically in media, grow, because it can get a little competitive, you know, because it's like, oh, I want this gig. Well, she wants this gig. Well, I want this gig. It doesn't have to be like that. There is room for everybody. So I think it's really just like telling our stories, being proud to share those stories, even if they're not your own, and just continuing to empower and, you know, support the women that you work with.
Yeah. Yeah. And speaking of stories, you know, that's what we aim to do here on the podcast, and really share stories of those top performers who are doing great things. And one thing that we've noticed is all of our guests are great storytellers, right? Like that is, that is your whole job,
yeah.
but that doesn't come natural to many people. So talk to us about communication skills. How do you continue to sharpen your own skills, and why do you think that's important for anyone, not just folks looking to get into media?
Listening, not just hearing, listening. Really hear and pay attention to, you know, whoever it is that you're engaging with. That's really important, because how can you engage in a conversation if you're only want to give your opinion? It doesn't work. It's a two-way street. So 100% just listen to the other person or to the people around you. For the storytelling route, I try to read. I'm not the greatest at, like, you know, being consistent about it, but reading is good, because storytelling isn't really my strong suit either. Like, my friends actually make fun of me that I'm the worst storyteller, because I tend to bird walk a lot, you know, and go off on tangents. But if I can't tell a great story, then I'm going to read or hear somebody who can. And you can observe and you can learn and be like, oh, that was cool how they described it this way. And, you know, so I think just being also very observant and paint a picture for your audience. That's what you want. If you're, you know what I mean? Cause we're not, I can't, you're not seeing what I'm seeing in my head. So it's my job to paint you the best picture that I can, so that we're seeing as close to the same thing as possible, you know? I'd say those two for sure.
No, I definitely like it. I know listening is a challenge.
It is.
I was just elbowing Carlos under the table, like, see, listen.
Yeah. It's really not hard. It's not rocket science. There's not like a secret code or anything. It's straight up just like listening and taking it in and processing it, you know?
Yeah. What do you think has been, you know, you've been doing this now for a number of years. What do you think has been the most memorable interview that you've had?
Oof. Most memorable interview. I would say for sure, probably, God, there's like a good amount of people who were just so willing. It's for sure the people that are willing to converse with you. Like, I remember there was this artist that came in, Jadena, and now he's like got a Grammy under his belt and all that stuff. And like, he would always come in like super dapper. It looked like he walked out of the set of like Downton Abbey. Mm-hmm. And he was just so appreciative to be there and, you know, willing to converse. Cause sometimes it doesn't always go that way. Sometimes people are a little closed off. And he just wasn't, you know, and actually I also have to give that credit to Shawn Mendes, because he came in like right at the beginning of his career, and he just like couldn't stop thanking us. Like, thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much for taking the time to interview me. Like, I really, really appreciate it. And it's stuff like that that kind of reminds you, like, oh, this is not just a celebrity. This is also a person who, mm-hmm. you know, feels and thinks very similarly. And I've got to encounter him a couple of times after that, and he hasn't changed. He's still just as humble and just as appreciative. So Shawn Mendes was great. Nick Jonas was another great interview. I mean, we just went on, and he was just so willing to be open. I wasn't scared to ask him a question and him kind of bite my head off. Like, he was just so, so graceful and so great. Alessia Cara, also another very humble, very down to earth person. God, cool. There's yeah. just a lot. Yeah. There's so many.
And I have to ask you the opposite, right? So what was your most challenging interview? You don't have to tell us the person.
Right. Yeah, no, I won't.
Yeah, like what was challenging about it and how did you overcome?
Oh, dude. Okay, so there was this one interview that I did. And the reason why I got to do all these interviews is because I worked for Carson's syndicated show. So these would eventually get to air on that. I wasn't just like this greedy person who got all the interviews. Yeah. So there's this one artist, very talented person, and they were about to release an album. They were doing like album promo and they had a single out. So they were doing, you know, the radio rounds. And this person comes in and right away you could just kind of tell body language wise, like, ugh, they're here because they have to, not because they want to. Okay, fine. You know, you just kill them with kindness. And it didn't matter what I did or what I said. This person was just angry. Like it was like pulling teeth, trying to get this person to answer a question. And it's just, and it was like, and it was tough. And like, it was awkward because that person was in a disagreement with his label, which I don't even remember who, like what the label record was. So he was basically bashing the label. Like, you know, it's, oh, why did you release this single? Oh, because the label told me to.
Nice.
Oh, okay. Well, I see that you collaborated with so-and-so. How did that collaboration happen? The label said I should, so I did. And I was just like, oh, this guy ain't giving me nothing. So I just kind of, I kept killing him with kindness, just asked maybe a few more questions. And at that point I was like, okay, we're not going to get anywhere. Like, you know, you just got to be graceful. You just got to suck it up. It's not personal. You know what I mean? And yeah. So that one was definitely tough. But what's good is that everybody noticed it. Like as soon as they walked out of the room, it was like, whoa, like, holy, like, was that real? Did that actually happen? But I got to say, that's the only bad experience that I had with an interview. I've been very lucky to not have any other ones that were like weird or awkward or anything like that, you know?
Good,
And now you know how to navigate those, right?
Yeah. I mean, and it's just like, you don't know what they're going through, you know? Yeah. Like there could be so many things like not even, you know, related to what they do. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know what's going on behind closed doors with their family, with their friends or anything like that. So you just got to be mindful of that and just keep it pushing, man, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Totally.
All right. So one question that we like to ask all of our guests is, what do you think, Latin excellence means to you? Obviously, you know, you're one of the rare, individuals who can be on a radio show. So what do you think being Latin excellence means to you?
To me personally, it means a lot of different things. It means being proud of who I am and where I come from. And it means being an accurate representation for my culture and for my family. I think it means that to be strong. I think it means to be strong. It means to be, I know we said this word a lot in the beginning, but really just be authentic, whatever that means to you. And like, for me, that's just like, I'm vocal. I am direct. I'm honest. And I'm, you know, I've got a lot of strong qualities, but that's what I associate with Latin excellence. You know what I mean? And I'm proud of those qualities. And I think, you know, that also is tied into that. It's tied into pride. You know, don't be ashamed of it. And, you know, we're not trying to, you know, put ourselves on a pedestal and be all preachy, like we're the best. No, but we are proud. And I think that's okay.
Yeah, no, it's been awesome to just watch your journey. I mean, I've been following you since the beginning, right?
You really have. I appreciate that so much.
And I would always text you like, hey, you're on the radio. Cool.
No, I love that. I really do love that. Because a lot of people like to tell radio people that radio is dying or it's dead. And it's just like, first of all, why would you say that to my face? You rude person.
Yeah. No? And also radio is actually a good place for advertisement. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah. And it's free. You don't have to pay for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but it's been awesome to watch your career grow. What do you think is next for you? What's next for Limon?
I definitely want to dive deeper into the programming end of things, which luckily I have a lot of really great mentors. And one currently like at my job right now, it's my coworker, Yessi Ortiz. And she has been really, really helpful with guiding me into the programming things, because I expressed that interest to her. And she was actually even the one, she was like, you know, what do you want to do? What else do you want to do? And I would always tell her, well, I want to get into the programming. I want to learn how to schedule music. I want to learn how to link and, like, you know, do all these other things. I want to build relationships with the labels so that we can, you know, put on cool shows for our listeners and, you know, cool events and pool parties in the summer when it's safe now and, you know, all that stuff. Like, I want to be a part of that. And so being for sure more involved in the programming end of things is definitely a goal of mine. And luckily that's starting to kind of come to fruition. And as much as I like being a solo host on the air, I really loved being part of a show. So I think ultimately ending up on some type of show, whether it's like, you know, a radio morning show or if it's, you know, through like, you know, a syndicated show, something like that, I would like to be a part of that world again.
That's amazing. That's awesome. Well, yeah. We have no doubt that you to get there.
Thank you.
Congratulations on all of your success. And
thank you so much
for representing and sharing your voice. So we really appreciate you being on. Before we wrap up, we have these like fast four questions that we like to ask. So good to know you a little bit. Yeah. So just, you know, feel free to share the first thing that comes to mind. So who is one person that you are currently following or that you admire?
So there's this one person on Instagram and her name is Guadalupe Rosales and she runs this account called Veteranas and Rucas. And it's just a photo archive, but it's for the women of SoCal, or as she calls them, Socali. And it's just a bunch of photos like throughout from different time periods. And I love that because it's a reminder of who we are and how we have been and how we're just continuously evolving and how our pride has just always been at the forefront of that. So I really appreciate her and what she's doing. In her words, it's a platform for self-representation and preservation. So I really like that account. It's at veteranas_and_rucas. So that's somebody that I'm following.
We'll have to check that out. That's awesome.
Definitely.
We talked about reading earlier. So what book are you currently reading?
I actually just finished it, but I read Where the Crawdads Sing by Delia Owens. Okay. So good. If you haven't read it yet, it's like a murder mystery book. It's really, really good. So Where the Crawdads Sing.
Cool. All right. And then what's your favorite Spanish quote or dicho, if you have one?
I do. They change depending on my mood, as everything does. But I think right now, one that really comes to the forefront that is just a good reminder is después de la tormenta viene la calma.
Oh, I like that. I feel like that's a good one. I feel like I read that somewhere too on like Nicky Jam's arm or something.
Yeah, I learned it like in high school, I think, from like a Spanish teacher, and I was like, hey, damn, like it just like it hits deep. You know what I mean? Especially now, it's just like we're living in this crazy storm, but the calm will come.
Okay, and last question: what would you want your younger self to know?
I would want my younger self to know that I'm making all the best decisions for me, to not question that, and that things will always work out, even when it feels like they won't. It'll always work out, and to just keep doing what I'm doing.
Nice. Yeah, definitely putting yourself first and love yourself.
Yeah.
I love it. So where can our listeners find you? I know besides Amp Radio or but where could our listeners find you and listen more to you?
So you could find me on social media on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Kristen Limon. And the spelling of my name is different because I guess parents like to be funny. So it's at CHRISTENLIMON. So that's Instagram and Twitter. And I know right now we're not spending a whole lot of time in our cars, so it's kind of hard to say, oh, set your preset to 97.1 amp. But we do have a radio.com app. It's free. You can download it on your iPhone or your Android. And if you have a smart speaker, you could always tell your Alexa, your Siri, your Google Play, hey Alexa or Siri, whatever, play 97.1 amp. And that will come on. So there's lots of different resources. And again, they are free.
Very cool. I'll definitely have to try that. I didn't know.
Yeah.
That's
awesome. Well, thanks again for joining us. We can't wait to see you as host of the Grammys one day.
Oh my God. I don't know.
So, but thanks again for joining us.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me on and for doing what you're doing. I think it's really, really great, and it's very much appreciated, and it doesn't go unrecognized.
If you've enjoyed listening to this episode, make sure to subscribe to our channel and leave us a review. You can also follow us on Instagram at Latin Excellence Podcast. Thanks again for listening. And hey, if you know someone we should be highlighting, feel free to drop us a note or a comment and let us know how we can share their story.